The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $4,995 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
And just like that, we are one-third of the way through group play at Euro 2020. The group of death kicked off today. Group F with a 3-0 win for Portugal over Hungary, and just wrapping up in the last little bit, France edging Germany 1-0 as well in a battle that everybody was anticipating. Welcome back to the program. Our Euro 2020 report, sponsored by our friends at Hyatt Infinity, features the one and only Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Cavalry FC. We've got a lot to dive into in the football world, my friend. Let's start with what happened today at Euro, and just wrapping up, that was a fairly lively affair between two great rivals, France and Germany. What'd you make of this one this afternoon?
You know, from a purist standpoint, I thought it was a brilliant tactical chess match. You're facing the last two World Cup winners. You know, France won it in 2018. Germany won the World Cup in 2014 in Brazil. And I think it was both very organized teams. I mean, what's surprising me now is you think with the French and the depth of the squad and the talent they have, they're almost like how Italy used to be deemed, in that they're okay with you having possession of the ball. And there's always an evolution in, when you got Pep Guardiola that brings in that success as a coach, you know, people think that. When Jurgen Klopp brings in his high press and high tempo, you know, the world of football goes on these trends. But the French now, you know, if they have success with, you know, being very defensive, organized, patient, and then hitting on the pace and the counter of, you know, Mbappe, you'll see a trend in how that game is taught. It always happens. And I mean, and they've stuck to their game plan very well, because by the numbers, you know, Germany had the lion's share of possession, 62% of it, and France only 38%. You know, they had more shots, 10-4. But all that matters always is that the only stat is the goals. And really, France, even though they only had one shot on target that scored, and it was from an own goal from Hummels, you know, they could have scored two more, because they had two ruled offside, and Mbappe's, you know, just a yard offside, but it showed the magic he's got. He's bent one in the top bottom corner, and then he's lent one across after another fine Pogba pass to Benzema at the back post, but both were offside. Germany, for all their possession, just didn't have, and I think it's just they lacked that number nine that they've had in the past. You know, they're using Gnabry, who's stereotypically a winger for Munich. They just lacked that little bit, and you know, playing a back three is another interesting tactical tweak from them, but both, in my opinion, will go on. But it was a very good tactical chess match.
Absolutely, and a great start in that group, because, again, when you're talking about a group that features France and Germany, and they just played their first matches earlier today, and Portugal as well, you've got the fourth team in the Hungarians, and they're kind of the lovable number four, and they're the underdog. They were definitely the underdog going up against the defending European champion Portuguese today, and Portugal comes away with a 3-0 win. So exactly the way Portugal wanted to start their tournament.
Yeah, but you know what? The Hungarians did well, really, because if you look at it, they left it late because, first off, I mean, it was amazing to see a full house at the Puskas Arena in Budapest. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you just feel the world is healing, and we all want to get back in the stands and stadiums of the teams we love, right? So to see that, I mean, they've held Portugal out brilliantly. It took until the 84th minute and a deflected goal of that for Portugal to break the deadlock. But actually, you know, Hungary scored in the 80th minute, but it was ruled offside. I thought their keeper, Golaski, who plays for Red Bull Leipzig in Germany, you know, stood on his head and kept the Portuguese at bay. But you know, when you have a team with Jota and Bruno Fernandes of Man U, and obviously the ageless wonder in Cristiano Ronaldo, you can only keep them at bay for so long. And I mean, you know, Ronaldo's end up breaking the Euros record now. He's scored in 11 goals in the European competition, which is above Michel Platini, who's at 9. And he's also, what's more impressive about this guy, and he seems to, you know, defy the sands of time, he scored in 11 consecutive international tournament games, stretching back to Euro 2004.
We're in conversation with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. Our Euro 2020 report is underway now, a third of the way through group play at UEFA Euro 2020. Tomorrow, Group A's back at it, and a match between Italy and Switzerland, which should be... You really liked what you saw from the Italians early on. Switzerland is a team that a lot of people like coming into this tournament. That should be a fun one tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be, because dubbed the Italians as and a good outside bet, because nobody was talking about them yet. Again, statistically, when you're unbeaten for 26, 27 matches now, and they've kept a clean sheet in 9 consistent games, they're not just, like I said about France being a good defensive team, they're not just that way inclined. They can hurt you on the other end. They've got a terrific ball-playing midfielder in Jorginho of Chelsea and Locatelli. I thought they were very good against Turkey and really overloaded them in the middle. And then when you've got Immobile and Insigne as dynamic attackers, you've got a chance. I really enjoyed watching them play. Terrific football. Had that great swarthy swarm about them when they're pressing the Turks. I think it'll be a different game against the Swiss, who are very stubborn in their ways in their last game. But again, I'm looking forward to watching Italy, because I think they do such a good job of it.
Turkey and Wales also tomorrow in Group A. What should we be watching for there, my friend?
Well, do you know what? I think Wales, actually, having been trailing to the Swiss, you're thinking, this could be their tournament wrapped up, because they are a bit of a team in transition. You've obviously still got your Gareth Bales and Aaron Ramseys of this world and Joe Allens. They're not the same team of the 2016 era that gave all the fans and the outside people a good run of games. I've got some young players coming through, but you could tell, even with the change of manager from Man U legend Ryan Giggs, is now not on the side, and Robert Page has got them. They came unstuck, but I mean, fair play, they're always a threat, and Kiefer Moore is a great story. He's the one that scored the header, but he's somebody, if you read up on him, was playing part-time in his early 20s, earning £70 a week, and ends up getting a pro contract at Torquay, and then just escalated into Cardiff and onwards. And then he's playing on one of the world's biggest stages and scoring. So I think he's given him a lifeline. And like I said, when you've got 4 out of the 6 groups that can still qualify, all they need now is just to be very disciplined. And they should be looking at the Swiss side saying, actually, we can be better, because we've seen Gareth Bale, for Tottenham this year, and he's still got magic when it matters. And that's what it takes.
And also, we have one Group B game tomorrow as well, a match between Finland and Russia. The Finns, with that really impressive opening win, their first ever win at a major tournament when they beat Denmark earlier in the tournament. What type of challenge does Finland face as they take on the Russians tomorrow?
Well, do you know what? I just hope, for the Finns' sake, they get to enjoy this game and get a good result out of it. Because like I said, obviously it was marred with the Christian Eriksen one. That's something that might not go away from them, but they've got here their first ever major tournament, first ever major win, and I love the way the Scandinavians support their teams. They really are a band, and there's a great culture about them. So, Russia, they flattered to deceive, I think, in their first game. They were quarterfinalists when they hosted the World Cup in 2018, but they look like an aging side themselves, and I thought Belgium had an easy run against them. Will it be different against the Finns? Absolutely, because really Russia are going in as a stronger team, so they should want to assert themselves on, very physical. But I think, you can never underrate the Scandinavian culture, like I said. So I think that'll be a good one.
So, Tommy, we're now one third of the way through group play. You talked a little bit about Italy, and they're a team that has really caught your eye, and they're a real outside favorite for you to win it all. Who else is really, now that we're a third of the way through the group stage, who else has really stood out to you positively?
Well, I think, having seen France now, I still think they have to be favorites for the tournament, because, like any other squad, they could put all the guys that are on the bench and start and be better than most of the top sides in here. That's how deep they are. They hardly broke sweat today. Kante was just nicking all the interceptions and feeding Pogba. Pogba was feeding Mbappe. And it was just almost like they were just having a bit of a jog. And that's why I said it surprised me that they don't go chasing the ball. They just let it come to them. And then they have a clear and distinct plan. They're good. I think the Belgians are very exciting. Obviously, we've talked about Italy as well. I think Belgians, anytime you have a team that has, Lukaku in it, has Kevin De Bruyne in it, Hazard is still, a little bit like Sterling for England, where, going into the tournament, people will say, hasn't had a great season. I mean, Sterling scored 16 goals for Man City this season. That's not bad as a wide player going into it, but Hazard's one of them that he can really be exciting once he starts to turn it on. I like the Belgians. I think the Netherlands have entertainment in them. Portugal have got a deep squad. And you know what? England looked very, very good against Croatia, because that was a team that knocked them out in the semis in 2018. So I think there's a lot of talent there. And you're also, we talked about with Spain yesterday, they'll find some type of rhythm. It's this phenomenal depth in this tournament. Goal of the tournament so far is Patrick Schick's goal against Tottenham. I thought it was a wonder strike, and one that, you know, will get more eyes on from the neutral fans. But it's been some good plus points.
Any squads that you want to see more for, or that, you know, you were somewhat let down by or underwhelmed by in their first leg?
Well, do you know what? I think with Poland, you know, I fancied them against Slovakia. I don't think the sending off helped them, you know, when it was 1-1. I think they're better than that, because especially when you've got Robert Lewandowski in the side. I know, listen, there's a massive Polish community here in Calgary, so I think they'll be vying for it. Scotland, I'm hoping, you know, carry on this poor run of form against England on Friday. But, you know, I think they can be better, you know, because anything you see from these type of sides, especially from the home nations, you know, they have this great support around them, and they have this camaraderie, a little bit like the Scandinavians. So, you know, is there more to come from them? But, you know, Turks, I said, would be a great outside bet. Well, sorry, a dark horse. And I think my brother and my mates have hammered me. They said, you know, the Italians took them the cleaners. But I'd like to see more from Turkey. I think they are better. And I think there is a romance to their story of having, you know, their former coach from the 2002 World Cup squad with them. I think they've got a good group. They just didn't show it against a very good Italy.
We're in conversation with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Cavalry FC. He's also our Euro 2020 analyst. I do want to leave Euro for a second, because there's some significant action to keep an eye on from a Canadian perspective, as the men's national team will take on Haiti in their second leg tonight, and an opportunity to advance to the octagonal, which is a huge potential step for Team Canada on the pitch. Tell us about this second leg with Haiti, what it means, and what you'll be watching for.
This is massive, Pat, because, you know, we're talking about, you know, Canada being a football nation of its own right, and, you know, that was one of the big reasons of the Canadian Premier League, which I'm, you know, proud to be a part of right now, is that's got to help put more bodies and populate the player pool for John Herdman and whatever his predecessor is. We've got to provide it by having more places to play, you know, and we've seen that. I think this is a golden era for Canadian football, because not only are we part of the co-host of the 2026 World Cup with Mexico and US, this now is an opportunity to get to Qatar prior to potentially having an automatic qualifying in 2026. And those type of tournaments you cannot replace, because you need to be able to get to the biggest stage, like we're seeing in the Euros, in the World Cup, to compete, so you're better and hardened for it when you get there again as one of the host nations. I think this Canada squad has one of the best attacking talents I've seen and I've lived here over 20-odd years, well, close to 20 years now. I mean, when you look at Alfonso Davies and Jonathan David, Kyle Larin and, you know, Lucas Cavallini, they're scoring goals in abundance for Canada right now. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, John Herdman plays with twin strikers like he did in the last game, or whether he brings on, you know, Cavallini again like he did. Will he go with a back three again, which was a tactical nuance, and credit to him, he got his tactics right in Haiti, because it was on a hot, sticky pitch, and it's tough to play in there. And what was great, especially for a Calgarians, it was Scott Kennedy was playing left of the back three for Canada, and it was his debut, you know, 2 games ago. So he's done really well, kept a couple of shutouts, and that's another, along with Sam Adekubi, two lads from Calgary that are thereabouts in the squad that hopefully they win today, can then get into the octagonal. And for those that don't know what that means, is it's, you know, the final eight, US, Mexico, Costa Rica, Jamaica and Honduras are already in it. There's three open slots. And then if Canada are to qualify, there's a round robin tournament and the top three of that group qualify for Qatar. And then the fourth place is an intercontinental crossover to get there. So, I mean, with this squad, there's a great chance to get to Qatar.
It's really exciting. This, by the way, if you're a football fan, goes at 7 o'clock Calgary time tonight, the game or the match is taking place just outside of Chicago, and an absolutely monumental one. I still have nightmares of the last time Canada was this close and what happened what happened versus Honduras. So I'm hoping that that is not what we see, and this is a much better result. And you're right, with some of the star power this squad has, you get the feeling that they can get this one done in the second leg of this series against Haiti, in this set against Haiti. Just quickly, I want to start before we wrap things up going forward, because we're about a week and a half away from you getting going in earnest, my friend, with Cavalry FC. Just tell us how things are going. Your first match is a week from Sunday against York United in the bubble in Winnipeg. How's training going as we move closer to the start of your domestic season?
Do you know what? It's getting excited, Pat. I mean, it's been, 280-odd days between the last game we played and the next one we had. So it's a long time. It's a long time for the players to be, you know, set out in quarantine, you know, not training as a group. It's a long time for coaches to be watching, you know, scouting reports and video. You know, the connectivity of being together again, there's nothing like it, you know. So all those players now, I always tell them, you know, this is short. The locker room experience you can never have again. You know, the bus rides, the plane rides to these are some of the greatest experiences to have. So we are very fortunate to have been given this opportunity to go play. I think the league has yet again shown, you know, ingenuity in what has been the toughest time to launch a professional league, to show that we can survive through it. It speaks credit to the leadership and the owners. We're just happy to get there because we leave on Monday. You know, we're going to get this through this final week now of preparation behind closed doors. We've got a very exciting squad that we're not entirely ready yet. It's going to take us a few games to get that, because we haven't played a single exhibition game due to COVID. But we're exciting. And I tell you, when the coaches and that come off, and you can see it with the players, there's a lot of attacking flair that we haven't necessarily had in previous squads. So how that all fits together will just take time.
Looking forward to it, my friend. We will chat again tomorrow, get a little bit more info on Cavalry FC as we move closer to your first match in just over a week's time, and more on Euro 2020 as the group stage continues tomorrow. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it as always.
My pleasure. Cheers, Pat.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $4,995 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.